Okay. Brian, thank you for coming on the Stay in Metal show today. I appreciate it.
Nice to finally be here, Marv.
It's been a while. We've been trying to connect a few times, and somehow it hasn't worked, but now we're doing it, so thank you very much. Congratulations on... What's that?
I'm computer challenged, as you know.
Well, we figured it out, or you figured it out, or someone figured it out. So.
Well, the thing is, I spend my whole day on computer working on the band stuff, right? I've been on this computer since like 8 o'clock this morning. Okay? But I only know what I got to know because I don't have time to learn anything else.
Exactly.
So things that other people might know just, you know, because they do them every day, I don't. But like I'll get on Adobe Premiere Pro, which is how I do all my editing. It's my editing software. I spent a year learning it, so I know how to use that. A lot of people don't. So I guess I know what I need to know.
Exactly what's important to you. So congratulations on 51 years of the band Helix. That's quite a milestone there for you. I just have one question. Do you plan on retiring, or are you just what you going to keep going with the band, or what do you plan on doing?
It all depends on how I feel, I guess. One day I feel like packing it in, the next day continuing on. It's a tough life. It doesn't get any easier. I've been in it for 51 years. It's just as hard now as it was 40 years ago. But I can't complain. Rock and roll has been good to me. But if I do hang up my microphone one of these days, I'll probably go into teaching or something else. I won't quit working, that's for sure.
Yeah, you did some vocal training, don't you?
Yes, I'm one of the last people in the world to teach true bel canto, which was taught me by Eduardo Johnson, the youngest member of the New York Metropolitan Opera.
Nice.
And I'm one of the last people in the world that actually knows how to teach it, although there's lots of voice teachers say they know bel canto. They don't.
You've taught a few of the people from the country music, and I think you helped one of the girls from the band Kitty, maybe, to teach them.
Well, when Morgan and Mercedes Landers came to me for vocal lessons, they didn't want to change their sound, and I didn't want to change their sound either. But what I did do is I taught them how to lift their throat to take the tension off the vocal cords around the thyroid cartilage. And you have to actually go into a physical position with the back of your throat to make that happen. So I taught them that and basically how to aim their voice forward off the hard palate. And it allowed them to sing night after night and make cash.
Right on. That's amazing. So can we talk about Helix and the band getting into the Canadian Music Hall and Canadians Walk of Rock and Roll Walk of Fame? Some people get this confused because they think it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but it's the Canadian Walk of Fame. What do you think is the reason that the band has not gotten into there yet?
Well, I'd be guessing, but everything emulates from Toronto, so you figure it out.
Well, I know.
The only thing I really liked in Toronto.
Alan Cross has said there's a backlog, and I called him on that, and I don't agree. I think any band can get in there anytime, and you're definitely deserving of it. There's no reason why Helix couldn't be in there, and I don't understand. I get it because it's all, like you said, it's all from Toronto, and they all go through their bullshit and stuff there, but Helix is definitely deserving of being in there, that's my opinion.
Well, I don't know. That was just an answer off the top of my head, right? I don't really think that much about it, and I don't lose any sleep over it either. As far as I'm concerned, it's the fans' appreciation that I need. That gives me more of a sense of accomplishment than a sidewalk or a trophy, right? And the fans have kept us going for 51 years. Personally, I don't give a flying fuck about the Walk of Fame. The only reason I do care about it is because I think guys like Paul Hackman and Greg Fritz Heinz, who spent their whole life to further Canadian rock around the world, they should be honored. Me, I don't give a shit.
I totally agree. They're definitely definitely one of the best. They did a lot of contributions for music and stuff. So I get a question. I get this question asked a lot. Why and when is the band going to bring out some new music? I don't know why people, but I always get that question.
New music?
New music. When are you going to put out some new music, Brian? That's what
we're creating new music. It's just getting around doing an album. We've been kind of releasing a song at a time over the past couple of years. That was because the music industry's changed so much that you put out an album and after the first song, nobody cares anyway and listens. So I started releasing singles as opposed to albums, and it allowed me to focus money-wise on promoting that song and getting the best song and stuff. But we're always working on new material. I got a couple songs on the go now with Tony Pelleschi, who used to be with me in 7 Year Itch. I've been writing with Gord Pryor. I've been writing with Sean Kelly. We must have about 5 partial songs written. So we got lots of music out there. Plus, songs that we wrote that have never been on an album, like Brother from a Different Mother. And then other ones like Gene Simmons Says and Eat, Sleep, Rock have only really been on one release.
True, I like those songs. I listen to them.
Which one's that?
Well, Gene Simmons, the one there, that's a pretty catchy song.
I think that was a great song, too.
You did a great job on that one. There's this book here that you did a while back. It's called Give Me an Hour. You have so many stories to share. Would you ever consider doing another book? Because I'm not sure what year this book came out.
I'm writing it right now. In fact, awesome. This is probably over here. I don't know if you can see it. All this stuff.
Okay.
So that's many drafts. The first one's Golden Age of Canadian Barsig, which I've been writing since, I think, 2020. I interviewed many people out Western Canada during COVID year and got a lot of information. At first, I was a little bit bamboozled because every story I heard from every musician took me down a different road.
I was going to say, every story probably leads to another story.
Well, it was almost like after a while, I could have released an encyclopedia of stories. For instance, I uncovered a story about Johnny Cash that was pretty cool. Johnny Cash, his manager came from London, Ontario.
Oh, cool.
And, he was a Jewish guy, which was kind of odd because Johnny Cash was, as you know, known as an evangelist. But at that period of time in Johnny Cash's life, he was basically a drunk and a pill popper, and he couldn't get a gig in the United States because every time he'd get one, he'd walk on stage and then walk off after 2 songs. So he came to Saul, I think it was Saul Hollowitz. I could be wrong with that name, but from London, Ontario, because Saul was a successful promoter. At that time period in Canadian rock, there was that transition between one-nighters and dance halls and high schools, universities, colleges into the bar scene, and Saul was very successful in Southern Ontario for booking those one-nighters. So Johnny Cash came to him and told me he wanted a manager and an agent, and Saul said, I will, on 3 conditions. A, you got to clean up your act as far as the booze and the drugs go. 2, you got to get a better woman. And thirdly, I'm not moving to Nashville. And Johnny Cash agreed, and Saul turned around his career. And then he introduced Johnny Cash to June Carter. And that's why Johnny Cash proposed to June Carter at the London Gardens, which, as you know, is an old hockey barn.
Holy shit.
And you got to wonder, why is Johnny Cash proposing in London, Ontario, in a hockey arena? Well, it's because Saul was from London. And then Johnny Cash became an evangelist, and he came to Saul, and he wanted him to switch from being Jewish to Christian faith, and Saul, of course, went, no, Jewish. And for some reason later on, Johnny Cash fired him. And but it all came out. You can find it all in a movie called My Father and the Man in Black. So that's one story I uncovered. But there's many that time period. It was a very special time in Canadian musical history. one that'll never be repeated, and that's why I wanted to write the book.
I'm so looking forward to it. I've seen your journey. You went out west there, and you interviewed all those old Canadian bands, and it's going to be interesting when it comes out, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Well, guys like Al Harlow from Prism were instrumental in helping me, and they had some incredible stories, especially the one where he meets Velvet Underground. That's a pretty good
Maybe
one.
Maybe we should say some of these stories for the book, though.
Yeah, say some of the stories for the book.
Okay. So 50 years and 51 years, who's counting? But what do you consider some of the highlight of the band's career? Do you have anything that sticks out? Like, I know you traveled to Europe there with Kiss one time, and then there's so many stories, but anything?
Well, touring with Kiss in 1983 was definitely a high point for the band, but there was many. We played with Ryan James Dio. I remember Ryan James Dio used to come in the dressing room before shows. He was a true gentleman. And he'd sit in Fritz's little practice kit, and he'd go, I like these drums. They're small, just like me. And we played with him in Albuquerque, Oklahoma City, and where else? Phoenix. And also at CNE Stadium in Toronto, as you know.
Yes.
But there's so many. We met Robin Williams. We met Richard Pryor. We just did some incredible things. I met Joe Cocker, I was a big fan of Joe Cocker.
That'd be nice to meet him.
Leon Russell. We were Del Shannon's band in the early part of our career. And Del Shannon was a huge artist, even at that time. And the Beatles and the Rolling Stones both backed up Del Shannon.
Wow.
And he'd tell me all sorts of stories about this person, that person. He was personal friends with Tom Petty, and he was supposed to be in the Traveling Wilburys and replace Roy Orbison, but unfortunately he committed suicide before that happened.
That's too bad.
Hmm.
So about the touring stuff, you guys have a few shows coming up this year, I think around London, and do you plan on doing a cross-country tour this year at all to celebrate 50 years?
Yes, there's a few things we're working on right now. Actually, I shouldn't say we're working on them. I'm mostly Bernie Aubin. there's days that might happen in the fall, a tour there. So I got my fingers crossed on that. And then I'm making a few gigs happen myself. So I always got feelers out there.
You know what I really would love to see? I mean, I'm a huge Canadian rock fan, so... Like, I would love to see Helix, the Killer Dwarfs, and Kick-Ass. I know you guys done this before, but you haven't did a tour of that. Now, what are the considerations? Would that be able to happen? I know it's
not really up to me. It's up to promoters. You know, you have to take in consideration, like, it's just a matter of numbers. You take how much this band is, that band, add them all together, figure out the rider and the hall rental and all the other things. And I know myself, because I'm doing two gigs now in London and Kitchener. I can't tell you who the opening acts are yet, but you know, by the time I'm done, I'll have over $20,000 invested in the show, and I could have retired yesterday. So sometimes I wake up and go, what the hell am I doing this for? But I want to come back at least one more time to London, Ontario, my hometown, with a solid show. We have the screens we're using in both gigs, which is something we've actually graduated to over the last year. It began with the acoustic shows and the big show we did in Ingersoll. And I have to give a lot of credit right here to Jay Panasico, my webmaster. And Jay did all the video footage that backed us up on the Ingersoll show, and people were blown away. I think, you know, I go see other acts. But saw Bret Michaels a couple weeks ago, and they were with Night Ranger. Dee Snider was in that show, and that same thing. They're using screens like that.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I was a little bit wary because I found some bands try to do too much of a literal interpretation of the song, and it distracted from the actual band. But now it's more just, you know, scenes in the background and. It doesn't take away from the guys on stage.
You have done many collaborations over the year with artists. Who would you love to do a duet with if you had a chance?
Female or male?
Either. I know you did a one with Lee Aaron before. I love that song, but it's not been a lot of people don't know about it. And then I think you did one with Rush Dwarf too there years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
So I also did one with the guy from the Bullet Boys.
Oh really? I didn't even know about that one. I'll have to, is it available for listeners?
Haley Solomon's son. I can't remember the band's name. It's Tom Mather's band, Foster Cherry.
Okay.
The name of the album.
I'll have to look it up. So, have you ever thought about doing an album just to completely, like, cover songs? I know the band has done many of
them. I already did my second solo album.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's another thing I'll have to look up.
So, there's two originals and the rest are all that cover track.
So, I'm pretty much done the interview. I wanted to keep it short today because I know you... you don't like the long interviews, and I'm not one for big ones. I think anything over 20 minutes, it drags it out, and people lose interest. So I just have one last question to ask you. What do you think the chances are of the Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup this year?
I haven't been following the Leafs this year.
Really?
I tell people that when I'm down in Florida, I could get the games, but I don't, because I find that just makes me emotionally invested all year long to come home. And then it's like that song, why do you fill me up, buttercup, baby, just to let me down, let me down. I know, Matthews back?
Matthews is back, yeah. And they had some energy. Tavares is out right now, I think, with an injury. But yeah,
they traded their best player, Kadri.
Yeah.
The only guy that threatened the freaking team and they got rid of him.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
1967, don't get me started on the Leafs.
I know you wrote a song about it, so I'll just leave that in. Well, anyways, pardon me?
That's about it, too. All I want for Christmas is the Leafs to win the cup.
I don't know. I'm crossing my fingers, but we'll see how it goes. Anyways, thank you for coming on here today. I appreciate you.
We finally hooked up. It was a lot. It was a hard time trying to get together. I don't know why it was.
And fans can go on the website. It's planethelix.com, correct?
Yeah, www.planethelix.com.
And there's not just, you can buy merch on there. You can also, you've got a lot of history stuff on there too, do you not?
There's a bit, you know, I could probably go into a lot more detail. I find that people nowadays, especially our generation, they go to Facebook way more often than they do to the actual website.
Right. Well, yeah, but the always got to make sure that they send them to buy the albums and stuff. I like buying that. I think I got the last, I had Breaking Loose on vinyl, and then I had another one, Old School. That was a good album. I really liked that one.
Yeah, I'd like to get that album myself. I don't even think I got my own copy. I'd like to put that out again, actually. That's a good album.
Exactly.
And okay, that was all lost tracks, basically.
So anyways, thank you for doing this today. I really appreciate it, and I really enjoyed it. I know so much history of the...
I hope it wasn't too surly.
Yeah, there's so much history of the band, 50 years. I mean, we could go on here for hours and talk about so much history. But anyways, I appreciate for doing this. And what's that saying you say at the end of your videos? Can you say that for us?
That's your captain, Brian Bulmer. Don't put square, see you around, catch you on the flip side. Whoosh!
Right on. Thanks a lot, Brian. Take care.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.